Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Still in New York City tonight. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam.
All right. Was that really you, Drew, or someone just pushing a cart that says yes, Adam?
Because somebody dropped a nickel.
That's right. Dr. Drew is in New York City tonight. Why, Dr. Drew?
Because somebody dropped a nickel.
That's right. Never gets tired. Never get tired of that. MXPX in the studio tonight. Mike, Tom, and Yuri are here, and they were last here, Drew, 5 years ago. Over five years ago.
No way.
Yes. Yes way.
Has it been that long?
It has been, and it felt, felt about like 5 years.
It felt like three, yeah. One or two for me. Five is way too long. Have I known you for 5 years, Adam?
Can't believe this show's still on.
I know.
Thank you. Well done.
About them.
I can't believe we're still a band, but I can't believe the show's still on.
I can't believe you guys still rock. I can't believe you still make ears bleed.
I don't believe it.
It was. It has been a while, and I would say how much you've changed, but I don't remember anything. Yeah. So it's perfect.
You introduced yourself like you'd never met us before.
You know what? I think after. You know, like, if you don't get laid for 6 years, maybe you're a virgin again.
Got it.
I'd say after, like, four and a half years, it's reintroduction
time.
You're
an MXPX virgin.
Because it's been too long. Like, you can't do that. Hey, good to see you again, buddy.
Because
that's reserved for the guys you saw last weekend on the softball field.
Totally.
This has been half a decade. So the guys are going to be playing at the Weenie Roast on this Saturday. We'll be there. Have you guys done the Weenie Roast before?
This will be our first.
We're virgins.
Oh, really?
Virgins. Virgins.
This is big.
Yes.
This is big stuff. This is the granddaddy of them all. Is it not, Drew?
It's no weenie.
Huge. It's huge.
No, we will roast weenies.
It is. And I don't know if we found out how many people Irvine Meadows holds, but we figured out about 14,000.
Yeah,
or
between
something,
12 and 14.
Something in that vicinity. Good crowd. I have no idea when you guys are going on, so I'll be buzzed. The question is will I be catching a buzz, effed up, or vomiting?
You'll be catching a buzz at that point.
You'll be catching a buzz. All right, yes. so sun will still be up.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So you'll be in the catch-a-buzz phase, which is awesome. That's an awesome
That's
time.
That's when you're feeling good.
It's a good time. I'll remember you, yeah.
when does the show, like, turn for the worse? Like, oh, I'm just, like, over it.
Somewhere around the 420 area, I'd say.
Yeah, usually when one of, like, Green Day's Samoan bouncers kicks the crap out of someone from Third Eye Blind.
There you go.
That's usually for me when it turns.
It turns, but I don't know if that's for the worst.
That was awesome because I was standing there. What was that, Drew? 5 years ago?
About 5 years ago. Yeah,
probably when we were both here.
Weren't we both in that little trailer area when he came running down the hill with the
bottle? Well, that was the second part. I was standing. I love Green Day, so I was like, oh, I'm going to go catch Green Day, and I was just standing on the stage right next to it, and there they were plucking away, and one of the guys from Third Eye Blind went sort of on stage like he was a fan, you know, like, oh, I made it on stage and I'm gonna hug the bass player. And he was kind of theatrical and joking around. And this big Samoan bouncer, do we have to say big Samoan anymore? Let's just say Samoan.
Let's just say huge dark guy. We'll think Samoan.
Ponytail.
An islander
with huge calves and a ponytail pounced on the guy from Third Eye Blind and tackled him, knocked him down to the ground. The guy from Green Day, who's playing the bass, turned around and gave a moment of like, oh, you know, Manu, no, don't crush, don't crush him like a walnut. This guy's from Third Eye Blind. He's not some fan that jumped up on stage. And he gave a look to Manu, and then he kicked the guy right in the head. And I thought, that's hardcore.
The bass player did?
The bass player kicked the guy from Third Eye Blind right in the head, and I was like, whoa. Because he kind of even recognized that this guy was a guy from another band, and he didn't need to be disciplined or anything.
No.
Yes, he kicked him right in the head. And it was, and then Manu roughed him up and dragged him out.
That's
and
what you get.
Then the guy hid with a bottle, and he just hid right behind like some trailer Drew and I were standing around. And then when Green Day got off stage and they're just running back to their trailer, they just jumped out and whacked him across the head with it. Yeah. Rock and roll, like, baby.
Yeah, like West Side Story / Weenie Roast.
Yeah, West Side Weenie.
West Side Weenie Roast.
Yeah. So here's the deal. The bar's been raised for you guys. I mean, you're going to have to do something crazy.
Of course.
Because you want me telling stories about you, come Sunday night. You're going to have to stab somebody or something.
We will.
Something good.
I'm going to stab myself.
That's good. That's good. That could be even better.
That's better.
Yeah. Better.
No one gets hurt that way.
Yeah.
As a doctor, can you condone that kind of thing? I don't know.
I can't condone you stabbing somebody else.
Yeah. He can tell you exactly where to stick it, where you will be able to survive.
Drew... there may come a point when I need to do a self-inflicted wound on myself. Like
I'll be there for you.
I'm just saying, I don't want to get into the specifics, but the marriage isn't working out the way I thought it might, and there's some insurance money. It's a long story. I'm just saying I'm going to need to talk to you about, putting a steak knife in my thigh and missing an artery.
That's a little dicey. That's tough. I'll have to open it up and insert it.
I'm going to need you. That's why.
Little advice. Don't talk about it on the radio.
Is this thing on?
Keep it under wraps.
No, I mean, it's cool. I'm kidding.
This is the cover story.
We're on air?
This is theater of the mind. This is an actual reality. Panic is the name of the new CD. It's coming out Tuesday, June 7th, which is a couple of Tuesdays from now. But you can see the guys at the Weenie Roast before that. We'll hear something off of Panic. We'll hear a couple things off Panic. And the guys are also going to be playing the Warped Tour, which kicks off when? Or is it kicked off?
It's kicking my ass right
now. July 18th in Columbus, Ohio.
June 18th.
Are you guys on it all the way through, every leg?
If there's a Warped Tour show, we're there.
Wow. And now, so are bands getting on the tour and getting off the tour?
Exactly.
A lot of bands are.
When you guys are going straight through.
Whole thing, man.
Tons of dates, right?
You know, some people can't really handle it, but we're right in the kitchen, in the heat of it.
Yeah. This is never going to work. All right. Let's take some phone calls and start off with Kevin. DNA test, custody of cousins, two kids.
Scared. Not fun.
I'm going with this one. I'm going Marissa. Marissa?
Hi.
You're 20?
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Little girl voice.
Say more Jell-O, Daddy.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, well, my...
No. Say more Jell-O,
Jell-O,
please. Say more Jell-O. Say more Jell-O, please. Go ahead.
Jell-O, please.
Oh, God. This is a 20-year-old.
That's a 3-year-old right there. Something happened when she was 3.
All right.
What happened when you were 3, Kevin?
What happened?
Nothing happened to me when I was 3.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Nothing?
Nothing.
I don't know.
No molestation?
No.
Little milk, maybe.
No physical abuse?
No, I had a perfectly normal childhood. Everything was good.
Allegedly.
Are you still having a perfectly normal childhood, right?
Are you small in stature?
What?
Are you small in stature?
I'm like 5'5".
Something's wrong here. All right, what's your question?
All right, but let me say this, Drew. She has the little girl voice. Wherever we hear the little girl voice, it means something happened back in the formative years. But sometimes, once in a while, people just sound that way, don't they?
I guess so. Never on this show, but whatever.
Well, that's true. And she sounds perky, though. She sounds like she's in a good mood.
All right. Let's not bust her,
Hyman, go ahead, Marissa.
Okay, well,
hold on. Chicks need a part to bust, like we get our balls busted all the time. What do you guys got? And it doesn't work.
They get their chops busted.
The vulva. It doesn't really work. Or like, hey, quit busting my areolas. I'm getting to it. Like, they don't really have parts. Or, fallopian tubing.
Ovaries.
Let me just try. Ovaries?
It's ovaries.
Let me just try a few.
If it's balls, it's
quit
ovaries.
Quit busting my fallopian tubing.
Tubing.
It doesn't. But vulva's bad. Ovaries are they're kind of. It's there, but it's a little technical.
It's a little too Drew.
People have to think about it too much. Yeah, I
like hymen. Even for non-virgins. Let me try that.
Isn't that some sort of choking thing?
Quit busting my hymen. Quit busting my hymen. That's good. All right, you girls use that from now on.
Heimlich.
Marissa.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, are you sure you're ready?
Yes, we are.
Okay, well, you're going to just make fun of me more because this is a retarded situation, but my boyfriend and I went out for 3.5 years, and he broke up with me for a retarded reason, and I hooked up with another guy, and we got back together, and he found out about it, and now he, like, won't be with me anymore.
What was the retarded reason in the first place?
What?
What was the retarded reason in the first place?
He would just ignore me and stuff, so I would go hang out with my friends, and I went to go see a movie, and he found the ticket stub and got all jealous and thought I was cheating on him, but I wasn't. Mm-hmm.
Then you had sex with this other guy. Was he a friend of this guy's? Did he know him?
I go to school with that guy.
Hold on.
Whatever that meant.
Does anyone feel like that was an answer? Do we feel any closer to the truth?
I go to school with him.
You go to school with the guy you had sex with?
Yeah.
And your boyfriend doesn't go to that school?
No, he goes to a JC.
That's a strike. And so he doesn't know the guy?
No, not at all.
Okay. I could have said that. But he doesn't like the fact that you have contact with him. You see him on a daily basis.
I don't talk to that guy anymore at all.
You don't talk to him?
No, it was just like a one-time thing, and I was just like, yeah, this was a mistake.
All right, so it was a little payback for your boyfriend not paying attention to you, and you made sure he found out about it.
Yeah, well, we got back together, and everything was fine, and he went through my email, and he found out about it. Because I emailed my stepmom, like, freaking out, you know, like, oh, my God, I did this. This is horrible. Hold on a second.
The guy who had sex with you emailed your stepmom? Is that what she's saying?
I think she's saying the ex.
She...
Question.
No one knows,
was it
actually.
The ex got into her email and figured it out from something that was in the emails.
I'm hip to that, but who's stepmom and what were they saying?
She was talking to her stepmom because she was freaked out about the whole situation.
Uh-huh.
And what? Then the ex found that.
In the email?
Yes.
What is email?
Seriously,
though. Come on. What is this?
I thought it was a drug. hey, Marissa?
Yeah.
All right, listen, what is this, like a Tiger Beat hotline or something? Let's go. I don't trust this new guy. He goes to junior college. He ignored you the first time. Just break it up. He's jealous. He's not going to let you forget this.
No, I know, but, okay, we hang out, like, every night, and we still have sex and everything, and he still tells me, like, oh, I love you, blah, 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 but then he'll be like, oh, I can't be with you because of what you did, and I'm
good,
the only
fine.
Girl.
Yeah,
fine.
Get rid of him. He's punishing you for some reason. He's being an a-hole.
Right.
A-hole.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Forget it. Just break up with him. And guys, do this.
You're still having...
Like,
what?
You did that, or...
You feel guilty?
Yeah, I feel really guilty, and I feel like I totally, like, ruined my relationship with him.
Well, you were broken up already, and he ruined it by ignoring you. Quiet, Drew.
Yeah, but you broke up for retarded reasons, and it makes me believe that you sort of need chaos, and you're sort of living in chaos now. Again, we'll go back to the trauma issue when you were three. Was your dad a drug addict or something? Or
no, well, okay, my parents got divorced when I was really little, but I have to raise me.
All right, how little were you when your parents got divorced?
Three.
Here we go.
One.
Wow.
And why did they get divorced?
I don't know. My mom and dad met in the Navy and stuff, and they were both really young, and they just got divorced, and they both got remarried to other people, and I don't
Was there violence in the home or anything? No. Was there something awful going on that caused them to divorce?
The what?
Was there something awful going on in the home that caused them to...
I'm tired of humping this sofa leg. I'm just tired of it. Forget it. I'm not going to save everyone. Let them do their own thing. Listen, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, people land on their feet.
Takes all kinds, Adam.
Kill you makes you stronger. Unless there's fire involved. That's, you know, my thing. Unless, you know, there's like you're talking about an industrial-type oil fire.
Yeah, and then it makes you crispy.
Yeah, but you could still be alive. It's just you have to breathe through a trach hole, and earlobes are gone.
But you'll be much stronger.
But it makes you stronger.
You know what the original statement was on that? I actually came
across it. What was it?
It was Nietzsche, and it was, I hope I can come up with the exact quote. It was, in the school of war, that which does not destroy me makes me stronger.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, if you make it through a battle... You've learned something, and you're stronger. Not if you've been injured and dismembered, you're going to be stronger. It was never meant to be used that way.
Yeah. Although, Pat Benatar, love is a battlefield.
Yeah.
So, come on. Let's bring it back to Loveline.
And stop
using... Hell is for hell.
Hell is for children. And stop using sex as a weapon, too. So she may have injured herself with sex. when it was
I fell down on sex.
Yeah. All hurt. Right. Let's talk to Kevin, who's 16. Kevin?
Yeah.
What's up?
My parents are... Well, they're my foster parents, so...
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Like, you're definitely...
We were owing for them, by the way, Kevin, but go ahead.
My dad is an ordained minister.
Ooh. Uh-oh.
And, like, they found, like, Maxim magazines in my room and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know how to tell them that that's not, like, it's not bad to have magazines.
Wow.
Are they angry with you?
Yeah, they're pretty angry with me.
Well, first off, it would have been the greatest day of my dad's life if he just found chicks in bikinis and, you know, these sort of super soft core. Like, I had, like, Milken and Poppin and, you know, Hondo, Fudge Packer, and, you know,
just guys on guys.
Berserk on guy, guy on cow, cow on guy, on cow, on guy stuff. Like, the idea
cow on cow.
Here we go. Hey, look, it's the Soprano daughter in a bustier. That would have been the best day of his life.
Thank God.
Best day of his life. No, this stuff was, you know, macabre, the occult.
Oh,
you know? Druid on cow, on Incan god. It was horrible.
Oh, no.
Yeah, on swirly machine. It was soft, yeah. Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Well, here's oh, man, this is tough. How long have you been a foster child?
Since I was about five.
So your family was a disaster?
Yeah, my dad was an alcoholic and my mom was schizophrenic.
Nice. Mm.
And have you been with this same family since you were five?
No. It's been about a year.
Are you doing okay? Are you able to have relationships? You feeling okay? Your mood's okay?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Like, that is huge. And you're going to stay with this family, right?
Yeah.
You feel bonded to them? You feel like this is your family now?
I don't call them mom and dad, but...
Yeah. Who do you... You don't call anyone mom and dad, do you?
Well, when I was 10, I lived with this foster family for 2 years, and they adopted me.
Yeah.
And I lived with them for 2 more years, but that didn't work out. So.
Why'd you leave? What happened?
Yeah, what happened?
I had this dream that, like, my biological dad came back and killed them or something weird like that. I can't remember. And
did they have to put you in a hospital because of that dream?
Yeah. They, right. like, put me in the hospital. And
yeah, that's not a dream. Second. That's a delusional state. That's a psychotic state.
Attacked dad while he was sleeping with a crocheting needle.
No, he became
right?
psychotic and had a delusional belief that things were happening that weren't.
Do you think there are any foster families named Foster? Wouldn't that be confusing?
Coincidentally, there must be.
Yes. That's my foster family. Yeah, I know.
Mr. Foster.
Foster.
Foster. Fosters.
Where's the farm?
So you mean what you're saying is this young Kevin freaked out and got dangerous, and they had to put him somewhere.
We don't know if he got dangerous, but he clearly became psychotic. And,
but why wouldn't he go back with the family? Yeah.
Well, he's describing a delusional preoccupation. That is a psychotic symptom. And he had to go in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that is. That's what happens when people get like that. And then medication takes that away.
What do we do? I mean, I don't know if this ever really works out, but you have these kids that are so traumatized and so damaged by, you know, the alcoholism, the abuse, the mental instability, sexual abuse, and then all of a sudden they get put with other kids that have been through the same thing, and they're all bunking up in the same house, and there's 11 of them.
Those
what
situations
the hell?
Need to be highly, highly monitored by really well-trained people. It's not something that's easy to imagine. In his case, you know, he's got a family history of schizophrenia, so he's at risk for that. He's had a high degree of trauma. He actually sounds great right now. I'm sure he's taking his... Let's ask him if he's taking his medications.
Kevin, you taking your medication?
Yeah, I take Depakote.
All right.
So you're bipolar, then?
Well, actually, I was on this medication. I can't remember what it was. And I guess it made me manic.
Was that Zyprexa? Were you on Zyprexa?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, that can induce some mania sometimes. But these are all very effective medicines in controlling what you have, and that's why you sound so good to us. You're sort of, it helps deal with those brain mechanisms that are out of order from maybe what you inherited from your mom or maybe from all the trauma you've been put through.
But, Drew, isn't that the man just trying to poison him? Shouldn't he be taking some herbs or something?
Yeah, exactly. I wish.
Yeah, man. You just need some like some ginger root, and you got to sit in this position with where both heels go up your ass for like an hour a day, and do that thing, and you'll be fine. You know, he's putting all those toxins in his body that the man cooked up. You know what I'm saying?
It must be the toxins that made him that way. Anyway, he sounds really good. And I just stay with your foster parents. Stay there as long as you can. The longer that you can stay with a relationship, the better it's going to be for you. So just hang in with these things.
Yeah. All right. But unless, Kevin.
Don't worry about the maximum is the least of your concerns.
All right. But listen,
that's
going to
be fine.
I'm an ordained genius. You understand? And I'm going to give you some sage advice. You got about another year and a half, and then you graduate from high school. You get to get a job and move out, right?
Yeah.
All right. Just fly low under the radar. Make your dad and mom or your foster parents happy, okay? Make the fosters happy. Keep it cool. When dad says he doesn't like this pornography in your bedroom, throw it out. Or actually, better yet, like put it outside and then, you know, dig it up and masturbate. But you know what I'm saying.
Like every other male does.
Be respectful of him. He's making a sacrifice for you, okay? All right there, buddy.
Join the soccer team.
Oh, my.
You know what I'd like to do? I would like everyone to keep tabs. Somehow us to keep tabs on those who are into the alternative medicine scene and talking about the man poisoning you and all that kind of stuff. And then we scan them. There's like a barcode on them. And it's like, ooh, you got full-blown AIDS. Let's say, oh, sorry. Yeah, you're not going to get the AZT or the triple cocktail. We have some worthless herbs for you over here. Yeah. I was just kidding. I got AIDS now. Sorry, you blame the man one too many times.
Nice.
We're gonna put you on some ginger root, and you can just go ahead and try up and die in about 6 weeks. All right, all right. The man says hi. The man says hi. The folks, the white guys in the suits that are trying to rape the land from Upjohn and Pfizer. They send your regards. And by the way, you want this sea burial or you want to plot? All right, fantastic. Good. Drink that green tea. That's going to work out just fine. Yeah. Yep. Everyone loves the herbal crap until they have a coffee. Yeah, have a coffee enema while you're over there. That should do nothing.
Fantastic. Yeah, half the rock bands are dead. So
yeah. All the herbs are great until you actually get something. And
South Park did a great episode, and the Stan or Kyle got the kidney failure. And they were taking, when they find out the guy, when he nearly died, the herbalists were like, oh, we're not doctors. What do you expect? And they were like, what? You told us you could cure us. What are you doing? And he went on dialysis and was cured.
It's great when you have you see, if you have made-up diseases like the phantom pains or you're allergic to something you're not really allergic to or you have headaches for no good reasons or back pains or you're lethargic because you're depressed, then herbs are great because you don't have a real problem, so you don't take a real cure, and it's cured because it's all in your head. But when you actually get cancer or AIDS or something, then it's time to start kissing the man's ass. That's all I'm saying. Kiss it. We will take ourselves a little break. MXPX here tonight. We'll hear something off the new CD, Panic, and a couple of few. And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is in New York City tonight. Why, Dr. Drew?
Because somebody dropped a nickel.
That's right. And MXPX is in the studio tonight. Mike Tominieri. All here from the band, going to be at the Big Weenie Roast coming up this Saturday. And, Drew, I don't know what the weather is like in New York, but I suspect by the time the first band hits the stage at Irvine Meadows, it'll be 170 degrees.
Oh, crap. Oh, our favorite, Adam. Our favorite weather. Fantastic.
It's somehow always 40 degrees hotter at that Weenie Roast. Yeah. They got the roast part. I'll tell you, they got that part right. MXPX also has a CD, which is coming out on June 7th, and they're going to be on the Warped Tour, which is firing up on the June 18th. And name of the CD, Panic. We'll hear something off that. We'll take one call, and we'll hear a song off Panic. Let's see. Caught Sun touching himself. Sex hurts. Can DNA test tell us that? Adopted. Huh? Let's try this one. Peter?
Yeah.
You're 22?
22, sir.
What's up?
All right. I was wondering, I'm adopted, and I have a twin sister. We both were adopted at 7 months. And we found our birth mom after we graduated high school. Mm. And come to find out, she was adopted, too. Mm. And she was adopted in Missouri, which closed books. So she doesn't know her ethnicity.
Does Missouri have a closed book policy or just no book policy? Because I'm guessing they just don't have books, so they say they're closed. They have bark, actually. They don't have books.
What's a book?
But here's the great cycle again, rearing its head.
Right. Your mom was adopted and then cranked out a couple kids, and they got adopted. And so now you're trying to figure out if who's who?
I'm trying to actually figure out... I was wondering if a DNA test could figure out one's ethnicity because the way I look, I'm dark-complected. I look like I could be either Italian, Hispanic.
You know,
I'm going with Hispanic. Here's what you're not. You're not a Jew and you're not Asian.
I would say
those are two things I know you're not.
I would say
they don't give up the kids so quick. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
The answer to that is no. The answer is no, as far as I can tell. There's even debate about whether ethnicity really exists because it doesn't really have a genetic pattern to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not that it can yet be clear. As I understand this, again, I'm no expert in this, but I read something recently that suggested that at least at this point, it's not something that really is in the genetic code per se as a discrete identifiable phenomenon.
Hmm. Look, I don't. This may sound racist, but if you showed me like black guys' DNA, Chinese guys' DNA, and American Indians' DNA, I could tell them apart.
Well, obviously something exists because they're.
I need a microscope. Obviously, I couldn't just eyeball it, but I feel like I would know. I feel like I would know.
There are things that encode for the eye shape and the skin color. And that
That's
kind of
what
thing.
I'm
There's
saying.
Obviously
I could tell. I could tell.
It's more mixed than we had thought. All right, whatever.
All right, everybody. So, Peter.
Yeah.
Was it disappointing when you finally found your mom?
No, it answered a lot of questions. But what's really weird is my twin sister, she's white with blue eyes and blonde hair.
So my birth mom was white also. All right. And what did she say about your biological father?
She really didn't know him. She said that he was mixed. But she didn't know what up.
Where are we going with this? I'm just curious, but
it's kind of funny at a certain stage when it just people just kind of become like dogs. Like met this mutt in the alley.
Yeah,
he raped me, and I had a litter of kids, but I gave a couple of the pups away and ran into him at the dog park 18 years later. It's awesome. I sniffed a little ass, and we went our own way.
Hi, Rex Matthew.
It's really Drew. We talk about this all the time because Drew has triplets, and Drew's like. You don't understand. These kids, they need violin lessons, they need piano lessons, they need harp lessons, they need harpsichord lessons. They got to go to the best private schools and then college. It's going to be about $1.5 million, $1.6 million per child. And I'm like, or you could do what my parents did. Nothing. You just do zero. Do zero. You have stepmom can kick you out of the house when you're 18 and you can clean carpets. You can do zero. See what I'm saying, Drew?
It is allowed.
Yeah. It's not a great idea. I mean... Thankfully, you worked out, sort of. But
well,
you know.
Look at me. Yeah.
But literally, you'll be a millionaire.
Literally a millionaire. But here's the thing, Drew. There's a whole range of parenting, and you're at the top, but you can do something in between. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
All right. Just saying. MXPX in studio tonight. We're going to hear something off the new CD, Panic. We will do that in about 8 seconds. How are you feeling there, Michelle? You queued up?
Yes.
You ready to rock?
Yes.
Let's hear a little something off Panic called Heard That Sound.
Without a window to say flow. Did my time in here without you. Swept on the floor down in LBC. Leave me back home under the muffin. It seems like misery loves misery. Company.
MXPX, everybody. Panic.
It's disrespectful. Talk over the song.
Name of the CD. Panic's going to come out on June 7th, and the guys will be at the Weenie Roast coming up this Saturday. We'll see them there, too. Now, don't expect Drew. You may recognize Drew, but he's not going to recognize you guys, you see.
Of course not.
Yeah.
It's been 5 years. Give me a break.
And I'm not going to either.
Hey, dude.
Hey, guys, what's up, bro? It's 2 days. Come on.
I know what Drew looks like. His hair can't get any more gray.
Yeah. Yeah, dissing the Drew man.
He hates me now.
Let's see. Let's talk to Sarah. Smells like cheese. Can't figure it out. Uh-oh. Sarah? 28?
Yeah, I am.
What's up?
Adam.
Hey.
This question's really for Dr. Drew, because I just can't figure it out. I'm really embarrassed, and it's not like I really want to ask a lot of people, and I'm not really around a lot of people because I'm a single mom, and I'm around my sister a lot, though, but there have been several times, like, where I went to kiss them, and just kind of pushed me away and complained that I smelled cheesy.
Your child did?
Yeah.
And how old's your child?
He's 10.
Your mouth smells cheesy?
How old are you?
I'm 28. I guess my mouth smelled cheesy. And like last night, I was in bed and I asked him, and I was like, "Why do I smell cheesy?" And he said, "Is it my breath?" You know? And he said, "It's just everywhere." And you know, I breathed out, and he's like, "It's coming out of your nostrils." And I was like, "That's gross. What does it smell like?" And he says, "It smells." This is so gross. He says it smells like eggy, cheesy, and I just don't know really. Even after I brush my teeth, but I don't know if he's antagonizing me.
I'm gonna add something to eggy and cheesy. I'm gonna add nutty. She's got a nutty flavor to her too.
I'm wondering if he was chomping on just a block of cheddar right before she kissed her kids. Or
no,
something.
Could have just polished off a wheel. Yeah. A
couple questions. Do you have a history of throat infections or sinus infections?
Mm. I'm glad you asked. Yes, I did. When I was younger, I had my throat was sore a lot. So I had my tonsils taken out, and it was really great because they harbored a lot of this yucky, disgusting, cheesy stuff in the back.
Right,
and I do drink a lot of milk. Like I drink like almost a half a gallon a day because I don't. I don't know why.
You must just cramp blocks of cheese.
You're processing cheese through your pores. That's what you're doing.
It's true. I have blocks of cheese. My son teases me about it because I love cheese. and I love milk, and I don't know if that really, if that's an issue. I mean, should
all right, here's the, come on, here's the thing. First of all, watch the fat in your diet, right? That's going to be an issue long term for you.
Okay, number I'm really two, tiny.
All right, number two, it doesn't mean your cholesterol is not going to be an issue.
That's true.
Hold on, by the way, I'm just picturing this, like you meet her on the internet, but you're just talking, and she puts up a picture, and she's kind of hot, and then you
it's
start...
It's a picture from 5 years ago.
You start having this conversation with them, where they start telling you they drink a dairy every day, and then they have that weird, crazy person, like, they're like, oh, you're like, oh.
I smell like cheese. Yeah. I'd
Sarah,
like to meet you.
Why do you eat or drink or consume a half gallon of milk daily?
This is hilarious. I don't know. I think I really love milk. I consider it like my cocktail when I come home because I don't drink alcohol at all. I think I'm allergic to it. And so I don't drink it. And so I love to mix it up with chocolate, of course. And I make my son dinner. You know, we eat a lot. And I serve him a lot of milk. And so I have a lot.
Okay.
Adam, she has a lot because she has a lot.
Yeah, so let me just get the beats down here.
She has a lot.
She consumes a lot of milk because she consumes a lot of milk.
That's because she has a lot. That's right. Yeah,
because she has a lot of it?
Because she has a lot of milk.
All right, Sarah sounds like she's arrested in her development. I bet her son's making fun of her.
All right, here's the deal.
Something's going on. I'm curious what's going on, Sarah.
I don't get it as a mental health thing. I get it maybe.
Anything going on? Well, what do I need to know about you?
It could be a little mental health thing because my son and I, we were in therapy, and then I went out on a mental health leave and ended up quitting my job, which probably wasn't the best thing. And now I'm kind of nervous, but I mean, I could get any job I want, but it's nerve-wracking, and I don't know.
Please don't choose airline pilot. Please, dear God.
Oh, well, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
Okay, Sarah, is something happened, like your parents killed in a car crash?
No, my parents are they're not around very often. Like, I moved from the Midwest out here when my son was really young, and he was going into kindergarten just because I really had to get out of my parents', you know, life. They're very, like, abusive. You guys would totally understand. My parents are very, like, heavy-handed. My dad's a firefighter, my mom's a housewife, and everything I had... My sister, I'm the oldest of three girls. We couldn't have any sort of decisions. We've all got pregnant at 16. You know, I was
just for curiosity, did your mom get pregnant at 16 first, too?
No, not at all. It was a big devastation to my family.
How old was your mom when she had her first child?
They were in their 20s. Like, she was 22.
And was your dad kind of physically abusive with you?
No, not at all. He was not. He was real shy when they met.
Mom? You know, was mom physically? But why did you have to
No, my mom's very,
home?
Like, a pill popper. She's very, uh-oh, like, emotionally, ooh, like, uh-oh, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And, I mean, I'm not, but, I mean, I smoked a lot of pot, but that's
uh-oh. All right, baby.
All right, here's the deal. Well, let's answer the questions.
Okay.
I forgot what they were. What were the questions?
Does my pot, does the pot have to, or the milk intake have to do with my cheesy smell, or?
Of course it could. I mean, that's what's in the back of your throat.
I'm surprised you don't just crap a clamshell. So much calcium going through your body. Like, you might just crap a abalone ashtray.
Are you from Wisconsin, any chance?
I'm sorry?
Are you from Wisconsin?
No, I'm actually from Illinois. Yeah.
It's close enough.
Very close. Yeah, Wisconsin, yes. Illinois, actually. Okay, anyway. Well, here's the deal. A lot of bad breath comes from an accumulation of bacteria in the back of the tongue. You could talk to your dentist about it. They're specialized toothbrushes for clearing that area out. Certainly infections also with a sinus and throat can have kind of a cheesy quality to them. And that there's not a minute in the day that you don't have milk or cheese in your mouth. So naturally enough, that can affect how your breath smells.
Yeah, I mean, let's replace it with horseradish. And you do the math. You know what I mean? Someone complains you smell of horseradish all the time and you eat a metric ton of it every day. What part of that math do we have to do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How about you limit yourself to like 5 udders a day, and we'll see if the cheese smell goes away. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam.
Ooh, that was nutty, by the way. Well, you know what I mean?
You know what? I think that was sort of simplistic,
a little manic-y
and a little you know, sort of the abusive mom and stuff. But more importantly, she had to leave high school probably and stuff, and just never finished education.
Mm, that's a little bit of a nutty chick, though.
Smelly cheese.
But happy nutty. You know, it's a Napoleon nutty, our favorite kind.
Yeah, it's happy nutty, but then even happy nutty has a dark twin sister.
It's a breastfeeding thing.
Yeah. Didn't spend enough time on the teat. All right. But you can't pronounce that word the other way, otherwise you get thrown off the air. It's awesome. It all makes perfect sense to us atheists. MXPX in studio tonight. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, MXPX in studio tonight. The band's going to be over at the world-famous K-Rock Weenie Rose going on this Saturday at Irvine Meadows. I got my tickets right here, and we'll hear something else off the Panic CD. Drew, in New York City tonight. Why?
Because somebody dropped a nickel.
That's right, Drew. All right, let's talk to Alicia, who's been on hold for 70 minutes.
Whoa.
Alicia?
Hey.
27, you have custody of your cousin's two kids?
Correct.
Why? Something horrible went on over there?
Well, they have two different dads, and their mom is my cousin, and she's been in prison a couple of times.
Nice.
All right. So you're taking care of the kids, and do you actually have legal custody of them now?
Yes.
All right. And how old are they?
4 and 7.
And the question is?
My question is I have my own baggage, so I know that it can and will have long-lasting effects on them into adulthood. And I was just wondering what I can do as their parent to help decrease that.
All right. Well, you're not the parent, right? You're not mom.
I'm not mom.
Right. You're not the parent. But what you can do is provide an opportunity for a stable relationship with an adult. And that is, in terms of outcomes, and when you look at kids that come from horrible situations, they actually have bad outcomes less often than we might predict. And when they went back and looked at why that was the case, what they found was that some kids developed a stable relationship with an adult outside the home of at least, say, 8 years duration, a long-term relationship. And if that relationship is maintained regularly, the outcome for the kids is much better.
Okay.
So just being stable, being available, being empathic, setting limits, doing the hard parenting job, not being their buddy, but being truly available for them and helping them contain their behaviors or whatever else is needed as a parenting type role, that will improve the probability that they will turn out okay.
When does dad get out, or when does mom get out? Or
mom got out 3 weeks, almost 4 weeks ago.
And what's her plan?
Well, she was very active while she was in. The older one, the 7-year-old, has never lived with her. He was born while she was in prison. And was in foster care for a couple of years, and then my uncle had him.
Hey, I'm not into this sort of Hitler-like maneuvers when it comes to the folks who live in this country. But how come we can't just put a little Norplant into this crazy broad before she leaves the prison gates? You know what I mean? Do we really need her crapping out another three kids for us to clean up after for the rest of our lives?
Well, luckily for us, she is fixed now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do they do that in prison?
No. Well, I don't know. It was either then or soon after that took place. Because
all right,
I
so
have
she,
the bottom two. She has one older child also.
All right. So there's a third kid that's just in foster care.
No, her mother has her.
All right. And by the way, we can't just have one effed up kid running around out there who's abused and not loved. We got to go for the hat trick.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's so ridiculous, and society really has nothing to say about this topic. It's like,
go for it, Adam.
You know,
go ahead, go.
Can't play God.
Here we go.
What are you going to do? Really? Really? We can't get involved with these people's lives? And forget about we're helping them. You know what I mean? I mean, society makes laws like, hey, you have to wear a seatbelt when you drive your car. I don't want to. I'm an adult. Well, we're telling you what you have to do because we're looking out for you. Look out for the mom. She doesn't want three kids that are going to grow up hating her guts. She doesn't want three kids that are in, you know, foster care or being raised by family members. I'm sure she's not wild about it either. Why don't we just get hold of these people after they crap out their first kid in the county hospital and intervene? That's what society's supposed to do. That's a good society, not a bad society. That's not a society that manipulates. That's a society that treats. Where's my patriotic music?
Go.
It should be swelling right now.
maybe since we're footing the bill, we get a little bit of rights over her ovaries.
Yeah, that's right. Go. Quit busting my ovaries. That's what I got to say.
I'm subsidizing
Alicia, you're doing the Lord's work.
Well, thank you.
And I agree with Drew. You're not, you know, your job is to, you know, not build a time machine and go back and fix everything. It's just from this point forward, they have a good, consistent, stable adult in their life.
Well, I kind of have a sub-question you were asking about when she got out, and she was active in writing and calling them while she was in for the past year, and then she got out. Called the day she got out. Now, the kids don't know where she's been, not due to me, but their counselors believe that their mom should tell them where she's been, and it's not up to me.
Yes,
to tell them.
She should always be honest with kids.
Well, do whatever the counselor says, but I don't know. Do they need to know mom is, you know, flopping in the joint for a year? Just say she was a Dallas Mavericks cheerleader.
There you go.
For a year. Now she's back. They missed the playoffs. All right, I'd rather hear that. You know, fighter ace, something good. Come on. I was doing tats with a guitar string and drinking a homemade alcohol made out of spit and prune juice. It was awesome. You guys, Mommy will show you one day. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew in New York City tonight. Why?
Because somebody dropped a nickel.
That's right. Drew, there's no doubt it's a prepared statement, and it's been well rehearsed, but could you have fun with it?
It's not fun anymore.
Well, that's why they called acting, brother. You understand? We don't care what's really going on in your cabeza. We want to hear you have some enthusiasm. Corolla.
Oh, much better.
Did you hear about this?
Dropped a nickel.
Yeah, let me tell you guys something that I'm working on, and I'd like you guys, because you guys are band, you're hardworking band, you're going on this Warped Tour, you're on the road, you meet a lot of people, you rock a lot of worlds, you have a pretty big audience, and there's something I'm trying to, and you're going to be out during the summer. I'm trying to replace the kids' pool game Marco Polo with Adam Carolla.
Nice.
All right? Because for me, he had his time, and that was fine. And I'm not knocking. I don't know if he's still alive it's like, I don't want to make fun of his, you know, if his family was around or whatever. But I'm sure he's a cool dude. But he had his day, and now it's the Ace Man's time. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think most kids even know who Marco Polo is these days. No. And I think, you know, Adam Carolla's, you know, sort of young. It's now. It's hip. It's wow.
Adam.
And, this works. Watch. Drew, go ahead.
Adam.
Carolla.
Adam.
Carolla.
Adam's jacking off the jacuzzi.
Yeah, that's fish out of water.
There you go. You ask most people, you know, who's Marco Polo? They're like, okay, some guy that likes pools?
Yeah.
Does he swim?
He may have invented coping.
Nagano Olympics, I think he was there, right?
Yeah, he set the record for the 500 butterfly and the freestyle. Yeah, they don't know anything about spice routes to Asia or any of this stuff. What do kids know today?
What's Asia? Never heard of it.
They think it's a band from the 70s.
Exactly.
The point is Adam Carolla is something that could really catch on. It's time for a change. I think, quite frankly, kids are bored of the pool, and it's because they're a little burnt out on Marco Polo.
You know, next time I'm in the pool with a bunch of kids, I'll totally start it up for you.
Please.
Drinking my Jesus juice.
Put the trunks back on and start up the Adam Carolla game. And I'm just saying, you guys are going to be out there. You're going to be at the Warped Tour. You're going to be at the Weenie Roast. It's hot. There's a lot of young people out there. Southern California, pools. A lot of swimming pools. A lot of folks from Orange County. Summer right around the corner. You know, pretty good time to get that started.
That's right. If we get it going, you'll let us borrow that black car to yours?
Yeah.
There you go.
I only use it to cut my coke. Literally a millionaire. Woo! Where are we, Drew?
I don't know. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Janet?
Hi. Yeah, hi. How are you?
You're 19? What's up?
Yeah.
You have a swimming pool at home?
No.
Oh, okay.
You're supposed to lie. It's radio.
Sorry.
You'll never know.
We got to keep moving. Let's talk to Chris, who's... No, okay. Janet, go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to say MXPX, I'm a really big fan.
How big?
A really big. I actually used to live in Bremerton.
Wow, that's big.
Because of us?
No, not because of you.
For the record, we're from Bremerton, Washington. Small town.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't live there anymore, but...
Near Puyallup?
Anyway. I just
unfortunately,
wanted to
we do.
Really like
how come people have heard of Bremerton, though?
Because of us.
Oh, yeah, right. I know. But what's the second reason?
The
that
Navy.
I...
The Navy.
Oh, the Navy town.
They have Navy
big
town.
Navy town.
Oh, okay. Janet?
Anyway, my
go ahead.
Question is for Drew.
Sorry.
I have a fetish for incest.
For incest?
Right.
Insects.
This is our fan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm
sorry. Insects? Guys. Insects?
Okay. I love you guys.
No.
Incest. You heard it right.
Incest.
Spell it for me.
We have a big problem with the ants at the studio, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking
no.
Incest.
We may be talking about ants, too. Or aunts.
Aunts.
Yeah.
Incest.
Family members, Drew.
Right.
Did you have something happen with one of your family members?
Not that I know of.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. You said that as though you had some concern that something might have happened.
It's possible. I mean...
Do you have dreams about that, or do you feel funny about some of your family members?
I have had dreams about having sex with my dad for as long as I can remember.
Wow. And is that the incest dream you have?
Well, I wake up...
I beg your pardon. The incest sort of fetish that you have?
Right. I mean, it turns me on.
Yeah. Well, some of that is actually just sort of unfinished business, let's say, emotionally. It doesn't that particular fetish, it sort of makes you sort of aroused at a certain stage of your life. As long as it doesn't become a real preoccupation, you're able to have stable relationships, you're able to function sexually. That may not mean anything.
Drew.
Okay, so it's fairly normal.
It's not fairly normal. but it doesn't necessarily mean that something awful has happened.
I bet Drew. If somebody says, I think this may have happened, but I'm not sure, and I can't remember, then you start asking questions about the present. Like, are you able to have a steady, consistent relationship? How is everything working out? That's how you kind of get your answer, right?
That's right.
Because someone who was molested before they could remember would still have horrible relationships now.
That's right. And there are sort of subtle forms of covert incest, you know, where it's sort of emotional incest, where there's not an actual incest that goes on, but, you know, the child sort of replaces the role of one of the parents for the other parent. It's kind of weird stuff can go on. Boundary problems. Mm-hmm. And we would expect you to see you have boundary problems in your relationships if you have that kind of a thing going on in your family.
Mm-hmm. Janet?
Eating disorders. Right. Do you have an eating disorder? Mm-hmm.
No, I don't have an eating disorder. Right.
What about current relationships? Any problems?
I'm actually just getting out of one that's been for a little over a year.
And how's it go? What kind of guy is
it? I'm sorry?
How'd that go?
Tell us about it. Would you please, screwball?
I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
It went pretty well. I have some codependency. This is my first real relationship. And so I kind of got to learn a lot about myself when I found out that I have a lot of really bad codependency issues.
Is your dad an alcoholic?
It's a boundary problem again.
No.
These are boundary issues. Yeah, you can't. This is what I'm saying. This is probably a little covert incest in your family system, and there may be difficulty maintaining boundaries because of that.
What? How do you do that covert incest? I may want to try that when I have kids. Because I don't want them knowing.
It's sort of emotional incest. You know, this
like,
sort of weird feeling.
Like, Jotter walks by and you're like, you look hot.
That's more than covert.
But you don't say anything else? You never act on it? Woo, someone's been working out.
Dad, I'm three.
I'm just saying. Just saying. What'd you do? Did you get some color, son? What'd you do? Did you do? Cut out the corn dogs? You looking tight, son. Come here. But you never act on it, Drew. You know, you just sort of, you know, you compliment like creepy guys at the office. New dress? Somebody had a good weekend. A guy, creepy guy at the office?
Not covert. That's not covert.
Not covert?
Yeah.
That's overt?
Muscular.
Yeah, but it's still just yapping. You're not actually, you know, physically doing it.
I know, but the covert stuff is really covert. Like, none of the players are really aware it's going on. You see?
All right, I'm going to work that in. Like,
As long
as you don't know what's going on, you're great.
Yeah. Subliminal incest. It'll be awesome. You want some more applesauce? And then you just flat out looking hot. or something like that in the middle of it? Drew, let's work this out, all right?
No? What? What?
All right.
What do I do?
All right. Who do you want to talk to, Drew?
You want to know what covert is? All right. I don't know.
No, I know what covert is. All right. I'm going to take some calls. Let's see.
Yes, please.
Caught 6-year-old son. All right. We're going to talk to Sierra, who's been on hold for 85 minutes. I feel bad for her. Sierra?
Yeah.
You caught your 6-year-old son touching himself?
Yeah. And I just wanted to know if I should be concerned with it, if I should suspect that he's been around any kind of abuse or is, you know, has been exposed to, like, wrong TV shows or something.
No. Don't all 6-year-olds diddle themselves a little bit?
Yes. Males start touching themselves and never stop.
You're going to catch him a lot more as he grows up.
From personal experience, Drew knows this.
In fact,
I have to be concerned that he's... Because I talked to him about it because he knew that I kind of walked in on him. I asked him if he learned it from anybody, and I don't think, you know...
Here's the deal. Do not freak him out. Don't go, oh, my God, what are you doing? Just go, hey, look, just you're okay. Those are private parts. And just be sort of a good parent about it. Don't freak out about it. And young males will start touching, and it's not a big deal. So if they start doing it openly, like in public and stuff, that's a sign that they're struggling to regulate their feelings, and that's a bad sign. But the male will touch himself. One of the things that happens when a male first comes out of a coma at any age is he starts touching himself. So that's how primitive that response is.
Wow. Yeah.
Uncomfortable when you're bedside with Grandpa.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Okay. I saw his eyes move. Uh-oh, his hand's moving.
Well, I was just really concerned that maybe he had been abused that I didn't know about.
You just freaked out. Although, Sierra, were you abused?
Yeah. I was actually going to call about this the other night.
Hold on a second. See, whenever somebody's worried about someone else being abused too much, it usually means that's they're bad. Abused. The people that weren't abused don't really, it's not in their sort of lexicon.
You can't imagine it. Yeah. It's
galaxy.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
How could that be?
Yeah. But, no, that makes them, but also it becomes one of those self-fulfilling prophecies because they end up hooking up with abusive people.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes, they tend to be the ones that create the circumstances that let the cycle go on.
Sierra?
Yes.
What's up? Do you have a guy? Where's Dad?
We're married. We've been married for just about 7 years.
And he's a good guy?
He's a good guy.
And who abused you?
Well, see, it's kind of... I know that my older brother abused me when I was real, real young. And as I got older, as a teenager, I suspected that somebody was abusing me in my sleep, possibly my father. I was going to ask Dr. Drew this another night. I didn't want to overwhelm him. I didn't know if that was possible that my father was doing it in my sleep, or if maybe it was post-traumatic stress disorder, which I was also diagnosed with.
I'm too overwhelmed. I can't answer that.
Don't you think you would have known if your dad was doing it to you in your sleep? I mean, really?
I'm pretty sure I just never caught him in the act. The closest that I caught him was I woke up to my door being open, and right across the hallway, he was washing his hands. That's the closest that I got.
You know what? Something weird. Sounds like something weird happened. That's my sort of instinct on this. And you have PTSD from something. You said the brother did something to you, too?
Yeah, my older brother. I don't know how old it started, but I remember...
And God knows what Dad did to the older brother as well. So it's not that important that you figure out what it was. You know that there was inappropriate sexual boundaries crossed. You know that there was problems in the family system. You know you have PTSD. Get some help with that.
Yeah. Now, I do have a question about the one thing they want to help me with is EMDR treatment. I'm kind of scared that it's like a hypnosis type of thing. What's your take on that?
I mean, that
EMDR,
light thing?
Yeah, EMDR seems useful. It's evocative. You need to have it as a component of trauma treatment with somebody who really knows how to deal with it. It's a tool. It's not a solution to everything. We don't really know how it works or how to use it yet. Some people have ideas about that, but it's a new form of treatment. It clearly has a role. But as somebody who has training in dealing with trauma surviving issues.
How does it work?
What is EMDR?
Yeah. It's just a way of they basically... have you follow a light, and they cause your eye to engage in certain kinds of movements that they believe allows access to different brain mechanisms, and then they ask you evocative questions, and it helps you process the trauma material in novel ways, so it's no longer sort of locked in the way trauma tends to be.
Interesting.
So you get at things.
Exactly. Yes. And it's not even about processing. It's about getting the brain to start rewiring again so you don't have that kind of locked-in dissociation that is so characteristic of trauma.
Mm. I was thinking earlier. I always think this. You know, they always tell you. And Drew, tell me if this is true. You're talking about coma patients going for their junk when they wake up. But in movies, you always do that thing where like the person's in a coma and you should talk to them. And yeah.
Maybe you talk.
Does it do? Does it do anything for them to talk to them? Because yeah. I would be yeah. like, Grandpa, it's Adam. Ho, Grandpa. Gramp, all right, screw it. I'm getting something to eat. I'm out. Call, if he wakes up, call. Okay, if he dies, call me. And if he wakes up, call me. I'm going to eat. Like, I would do the thing there, but after the first, like, 20 minutes of talking to the person with zero response, I would probably move on.
It probably depends if grandma's talking dirty to him the whole time.
Whether he goes for his junk.
Yeah, well, he wakes up and just reaches for it.
Is Drew, how about that? Should you talk to people in comas?
It doesn't really. I don't think it does much.
I mean, and what about this? I'm a busy man. What if I recorded something, laid it down, we looped it, and we put some, like, you know, like an iPod on them, and they could hear me going like, "Wake up, this is Adam. Wake up, this is Adam. Wake up." Just keep repeating it.
Probably worse things you could do to them.
Yeah, they would probably wake up.
If anything,
they may wake up screaming, though, is a problem. Like,
get Adam out of my ears.
Can you imagine being like, okay, you're awake, you're conscious of everything, but you're in a coma and you can't move?
Zombie, dude.
Is there such a thing, Drew?
So you'd just be tortured.
Drew, is there such a thing?
As being locked in? As being locked in?
Especially if you were sitting there talking.
But that's not a coma.
That's a locked-in syndrome. And there is such a thing as a locked-in syndrome. And those people usually can move their, like, eyelids and things. And so they usually there's a very specific area of the brainstem that gets injured for a locked-in syndrome. So you can see that on MRI. And they learn to kind of communicate with blinking their eyes, things like that. So those people you know are there. That's a very rare syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Very
rare. One blink, yes. Two blink, no. Five exactly. blinks. I got crap in my eyes.
Have you read that book, Johnny Got His Gun?
Is that it? Did they do the blink thing?
Yeah, that's an old book from, like, Vietnam, right?
Yep. And I mean, he basically doesn't have a face. And
yeah,
he's
that's a different
to, like,
thing. That's a different
completely
thing.
Completely different, of course, but it just reminded me of that.
But still heavy.
Can you imagine?
Heavy.
Oh, my gosh.
Jenny?
Yeah.
You're 24?
Hi, yeah.
You have a new baby?
Pretty new, yeah.
All right.
About 10 months now.
Yeah. There are not so many old babies these days. You know? Eventually, they become people. Yeah, I got a 26-year-old baby. he's divorced. He's on the sofa. He moved back in. Actually, he's out for a few years. Mm. He's got three babies of himself. So. Yeah, go ahead, Jenny.
Okay, well, I'll tell you the situation kind of in a nutshell is that I told the father... when I was about 4 months pregnant that I got an abortion and mm-hmm. have not told him and don't plan on telling him. Mm-hmm. And my question is more, what's
but
the
you,
best
you guys are still living together?
Yeah, you know.
Okay. Cool. One bedroom.
He's not so bright.
Yeah. And you're broken up. You don't have any contact with this guy whatsoever.
No, he's a real loser.
Okay.
My question is, how, as, you know, my son grows up, what's the best way to deal with that with him when he asks, you know, about the dad?
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you...
We just said, what, they were fighter pilots and...
Yeah.
Make some story.
He was a great pirate. Famous meth beard. Was his name. Yes.
Back in the early 2000s. When
pirates roamed the woods.
Oh, you could not. There was no shipping lanes that were open that was not open. And he was a great, his men loved him. Here's the thing. I don't know, maybe you need to tell. Well, tell him what? Tell him I didn't tell him about you. The kid's going to resent her.
I did tell him about him, and that's when he turned into a scumbag and, you know, threatened me and threw things at me and told me that.
Yeah, well, he's a horrible guy, but you never said the kid was born.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, okay. I told him I was having it, and that's when he turned, you know, into
a scumbag. That's good enough. I mean, that's...
No, that's good enough, but then you told him he had an abortion.
Yeah.
Okay,
I figured it was better. My dad. I watched my dad abuse my mom and my brother, so I figured it was better to have a loving mother.
So there is an intermediate way out here, which is to say, listen, I looked at your dad. He's a horrible person. I didn't want him in your life. So I told him. So the child doesn't have to feel like he was rejected by the dad, that the dad abandoned, but that the dad, because we can get mad at you for closing out the dad.
Is it a she? Because she's going to hate you.
Is it a she or a he?
It's a he.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be all right with that.
It's too bad. Yeah, guys are resilient. Chicks, though, we just get another stripper. Guys, now we got
so I need to just ship. Basically be honest with it?
Yeah. Society weeps.
Not a bad way to
all right,
go.
But listen, it's awesome, though, right? You watch your dad abuse your mom, and did you just see it, or did he actually call you in? I'm going to abuse mom now, kids. Come on, bring it down. Let's go grab it.
Check this out.
Check it out.
It was like a household event, yeah.
Right. It's like one of those Brady meetings they would have every once in a while.
Tall kids in the back.
That's right. Short kids are front, tall ones in the back. So grab a knee. Let's go. Settle down. One beating here, people. Let's settle in now. Let's go. Don't make me flick the lights.
Yeah,
let's go.
Popcorn and...
Yeah. Popcorn. So, whatever happened to flicking the lights? That was very effective when I was growing up. It's like, I will flick these lights. Oh, Christ, no, not the light flicking.
Not the lights, Dad, no.
No. Well, we're all going to have, like, epileptic seizures or something. Like, I always thought, yeah, go ahead and flip the lights, old lady. I'm still going to be talking. So you saw your dad beating on your mom, so you hook up with an abusive guy. Naturally, this is what, you know, has been the theme of the night. And he abuses you, and now you got another kid who doesn't have a dad around because you couldn't break that cycle. Now, at least you broke it enough not to actually have this, your kid growing up watching this guy beating on you, although I do worry about the next guy you decide you're in love with.
That was kind of the second part of my question. Actually, I'm with somebody that is really great, and I honestly believe we'll never do that, and I'm planning on spending the rest of my life with him. Is it at all feasible to just kind of go with the fact that he's the baby's father and never tell my son otherwise?
I would go with that. You have to really sit down and think about it very carefully. I agree with me. Now, look, here's the thing. I grew up in a time with numbskull parents that did subscribe to that you should know everything and kids are people and they're like miniature adults and you need to tell them everything.
BS.
That is 70s
BS.
Crap.
That's crap, yes.
I couldn't stand hearing all the... I was like, I remember hearing what losers my family were, and it was devastating to me. I would have much rather just heard some fairy tale. I really would have. I really saying you're, you know, this is not your real dad, your biological. Why does that help? You know, just let him think the guy's around and it's his dad.
Don't you think there's a point, like an age though, where it kind of becomes where like they kind of got to know, like, all right, you're
I do agree
15,
with that.
You know,
I agree with that. Hit him, you know, second year of high school. Hit it with them, and if they have any trouble at all, it's like, really, did you need to know this when you're eight? Did you really need to drag this anchor around with you? All the, you know, open house and parent teacher and all that. You needed the weirdo stigma thing with the fake dad. Just come on. Plus, what family isn't effed up today? By the way, is there? You know what I mean? Like, Drew, do your kids get made fun of because their parents are together?
No.
Yeah, there you go.
No. You're like,
your parents never divorced.
Freak
Dude.
Show. Hey, here comes Freak Show with the parents that sleep in the same bed. Oh, man. Were you guys going on vacation this summer together? Oh.
I bet you'll bring back pictures.
Talk about the stigma and the shame. All right, let's take a little break. MXPX here tonight. We're going to hear something else off the new CD in a couple of few. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in New York City. Why is Dr. Drew in New York City?
Because somebody dropped a nickel.
Yeah. See? Funny.
It's got to kind of grow with time. Like, someone dropped a dime.
Yeah.
Oh, we
should. Try it in different languages.
We should be up to a quarter or something.
Totally up to, like, someone dropped a $1.50.
Susan B. Anthony. MXPX in studio tonight. Going to hear something else off the Panic CD. And also, the band is going to be out on the Warped Tour every stop of the way this year. And also going to be at the Weenie Roast coming up this Saturday. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
You'll be at the Weenie Roast, yes?
Yes.
Have you picked out an outfit?
Well, yes.
Okay.
I want to make sure.
Is it laid out?
Well, you know I'm going to check to make sure it matches with yours.
Right. Right. That's it. It's really
cute.
All you need to know, like, really the difference between men and women is when guys show up in the same shirt, it's like, cool, we're wearing the same shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chicks show up, they're pissed.
Yeah.
Dude, you're my bro. All right, let's kick it.
Like, you might just pair up with the guys wearing the same shirt, even if it's a white T-shirt. Like, all right.
Me and
separated
you.
At birth. Great minds, dude. And chicks are like, they're angry. Someone's got to go home and change. Otherwise, the party's over. And I thought, isn't that all you need to know? That's how men are. Look, always looking for camaraderie.
Exactly.
Always looking to make a friend. Women, always looking to put a knife in someone's back.
Not someone's.
One of their
female peers.
Their female peers. That's right. All right, so we'll take a call and we'll hear a little MXPX song. Let's talk to Anastasia. Anastasia?
Hi.
Hey, you're 22. What's up?
Well, my question is for actually Dr. Drew. A couple of years ago, I got sick, and it took the doctors 8 months to figure out what was wrong with me. I had a pelvic inflammatory disease.
Yeah.
And it ended up scarring my uterus, everything else down there. They told me I wasn't going to be able to have children. Well, I have a little girl, kind of a miracle child, but every time my husband and I have sex...
Give her time,
hurts.
By the way. She'll be dropping out of junior college and dealing weed in about 15 years, and we'll see if the
question in all this. This is the critical question. You got to answer this honestly because it sort of differentiates what you're dealing with. Were you sexually abused growing up?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so everyone has that PID.
Pain.
Yeah.
No, not PID, but the chronic pelvic pain that can't be explained. People blame it on PID, but in fact, that's from the sexual abuse. So when you have,
and that's
when
why the doctors can't find it.
Exactly, and that's why she still has it, even though they magically treated the PID. So you know, PID is very, very common, and people go, they get it treated, and they have kids, and they go on with their life. But if you have chronic pelvic pain, that's usually a sign of sexual abuse in childhood.
Okay, and is there anything I can do about it, or?
Yeah, therapy, because you develop what's called somatic dissociation or somatoform dissociation. The information coming from the spinal cord to your brain is sort of disorganized by the sexual abuse, particularly if it was painful when you were a kid. Was it a painful experience?
Extremely.
No, it felt like a warm bath, Drew.
Well, no, sometimes actually what the problem is that kids get aroused by it, and then they get all kinds of conflicted feelings about that. But when it's a painful experience, that's when they get this very disorganized sensory experience from below the waist. And
who did this?
Pain is one of the...
Who abused you?
There's a long list. My stepbrother, my cousin, my brother, and three of my mother's lovely friends.
Hey, but good time.
Three.
Oh, yeah. Great. But I was in therapy for about 12 years.
Oh, good. All right. Well, maybe reconnect with that therapist. And there may be specific things they can do to work on the pelvic pain issue.
And that's why you sound pretty intact for someone who's been through as much
horrible,
as you've been through.
Horrible abuse, yeah.
But she's 22 and sounds like she's 41. Which is, this is what you sound like when you're five and you're not a kid anymore.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Sorry for what happened. Feel free to hate your family and your mom, too, for bringing these animals home.
Oh, I don't talk to her anymore. Yeah.
Good. And you can take solace knowing that she was sexually abused as well.
Of course.
Oh, I know she was.
Okay.
Yeah,
so see?
Magically.
Hakuna Matanda.
Kuna Matata
or whatever the hell they call it.
No
worries. It's a circle of life, everyone. Don't worry. Mom is abused, too. So,
no big deal.
All you guys that were ritualistically and sexually abused by the stream of lackeys your mom brought home calling boyfriend or stepdad, don't worry. Your mom was abused, too. That's why she brought these guys home. That's how it works. What do we call that again? Hakuna Matata?
Hakuna Matata.
All right. There you go. That's how it works.
Adam!
Corolla! Yeah.
Heavy, dude, heavy.
Yeah, now here's your goal, everybody. Don't get your kid sexually abused. That's
Thank
your
you.
Goal. Could we do that? Could anyone talk about that? Is there any change?
There's even a better goal. Is realize you're going to do that if you don't follow other people's directions. So learn to take direction from people that haven't been through that, because your brain will automatically put you in that mode where you put your kids at risk.
And it's so strange that we live in a society that all we do is sort of examine trends. It's like financially, we're always looking at what's around the corner based on what happened in the past. In nature, we're looking for cycles. We're trying to figure out if we're going to have another
hurricane
season, or every 8 years this happens, or there's this El Nino system. All we do in life is look for patterns, repetitions. All we do is try to analyze that, except for when it comes to these really important things that have to do with the human psyche. And then we pretend nothing exists before today. What is that? It's like,
well, it's a free country, and so human, we just don't like being biological.
I know. We're all individuals, man. Right, what's right for me is we're all different. Everyone's different. We're all different. And what about polar bears? Are they all individuals too? Every single one of them? Every owl? How about owls? They're all different. All of them? So you're saying...
Because you can't predict anything about owls because they're all totally different.
Yes, you can give me no definitive information on owls unless you've studied every goddamn owl in the world. Otherwise,
well, everyone's different.
All different. Every owl, every polar bear, every moose, everything's different. And you have to stay on. And insects, forget about it. Bees, you can't look at one hive. You gotta look at all of them. They're gay hives. You think she's the queen? That ain't a she. Must study everything. Is that the way we do it, or we just study one hive? That's what we do. Why can't we do that with people? It's so easy. But we won't do it because everyone's an individual. Oh, but all an individual? What? How many people here have three lungs? Anybody? Nobody. Really? Not one of you individuals has a third lung. Interesting. Wow, posers, all with the same lungs.
Has anybody noticed how much in the news has been going on with people being abducted, young children? More than normal? Is it me, or is it much more than normal?
I think it's the news.
Is it the news?
I think the news gets on stuff like they get on pit bull attacks.
Yeah. So it happens all the time.
Happened all the time for a long time.
I don't think pit bulls were attacking everyone in 1988, and then there's been no attacks since.
Right.
It was just in vogue.
You know
what ends up happening is. With these things is, news stories get hot, and then they just seems like there's a rash of them, and then it really just freaks everyone out. Like, I think if you're a kid and you're 7 and you watch the news, you think there's about a 50-50 chance you'll be abducted sometimes in the next 3 days.
Of course.
And it's the same, I remember once there was some freeway shootings going on here in Los Angeles, and then after a while, it got really hot, so they'd say, another freeway shooting to report after this. And then they'd come back, and it was a guy with a Daisy BB gun.
Right.
Everything's a freeway shooting now because you're collecting stories on freeway shootings. I think this country has always had a rich tradition of child abduction and abuse and murder, and I think it's been going on throughout this country's existence. I think it's become in vogue and trendy these days. You know how it is. It's the abduction du jour, but they'll always be going on. That's why the safe money's in abductions.
Yeah. I gotta say, as a songwriter, I'm always thinking about, how I see politics, how I see the media, how I see the current events, and you're never quite sure what to believe is true. And that's true with anything in life. Not quite sure what is it that's really
The deal. You've got journalists reporting very complicated situations that they really don't understand. And I can tell you, someone that gets quoted in the press all the time, what they sort of present is so far from the fact that it's no wonder that you feel that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's such a personal experience in my life, personally.
And stuff has a cycle, and stuff gets hot, and even news organizations just jump. I mean, you just think about Paris Hilton comes out with a videotape, and it feeds on itself. You're just reporting it because other people are reporting it at a certain point.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear an MXPX song. I'm going to hear it's heavy. I want to hear an MX. I know we're a little late, but let's do it. It's Thursday. It's heavy.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. This one is, what is this one called? I got it written down. Yes. This one is called Wrecking Hotel Rooms. What is
that's
this
not,
one called?
That's not called.
That wasn't even Wrecking Hotel Rooms.
That was
the darkest. That was the first
places.
Song.
Oh,
I love it when that kind of stuff happens. Right, it's amazing.
Six. Dead air.
This is Wrecking Hotel Rooms.
Here we go. Trying six.
No, that's Darkest Places. It's
a- yeah. Oh.
Yeah. We
oh,
have.
A,
you
it
know
blew
what?
Up again.
The great thing is technology is not perfect.
No, it isn't. No. And let me tell
happens.
You. All. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll break about 10 seconds early, and then we'll come back, and we'll hear MXPX.
Yeah, we'll put that
cue
one
it up
again.
There, yeah? Yeah. All right, okay. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew, MXPX, in studio tonight. We're going to hear something else. Well, no, we're not going to hear something else off the new CD.
No?
No.
We're going to... We're going for a deep cut. We're going back. We're going to take a trip back to the past because we had a little trouble with our equipment, Drew.
Imagine that.
Well, no, it's
shocking.
Not, hold on, Drew. I don't think it's our equipment. I think the CD is coded so it can't be pirated because it's a pre-release CD, and somehow our machine is not reading it correctly. So we're going to hear a little blast from the past from MXPX, and I think we should just go ahead and hear ourselves a little MXPX. You ready there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one is called I'm Okay, You're Okay. An oldie but a goodie. Well, listen, you know, everything happens for a reason, fellas.
Right. Yeah,
what can
right.
I say? But I haven't heard that song in a while, and I really like it, so good.
All right.
Yeah. All right, Drew, you ready to keep rocking the airwaves?
Let's rock. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice, that was enthusiastic.
Nice false enthusiasm, Drew. Yeah. Chris?
Yes?
You ready to rock, too, baby?
I'm ready to rock. What's that?
You're 20. What's going on?
I guess it's kind of a boundary issue. I'm not really sure if I've taken it too far or what, but I've had a number of boyfriends who've commented on how aggressive I like my sex. And with the last boyfriend I just had, we would have really aggressive sex, and during it wouldn't hurt at all, but then afterwards I'd have like really bad stomach cramps. And so it freaked him out, because we stopped having sex, and then eventually ended up breaking up. And he kept asking me questions about sexual abuse in my past. And
that's good that he knew to ask those questions. That's good sign.
Listen to this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he does. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I went to all-girls therapeutic boarding school for 3 years. They gave me, you know, a plethora of diagnoses, including, you know,
recommended I go to
SLAA.
What is an all-girls therapeutic boarding school, and how do I get in?
It's not that much fun. But,
me and Tom Hanks, stress
out
his chicks.
I was 13, and it's just year-round school, and you go there and hike and bike and cry in group circles.
And why didn't you do any of the things that they suggest you to do?
Well, I did go to SLAA, and, I mean, at the time I was 16, and I hadn't even had sex. They recommended it because they thought the amount I masturbated was worth it.
True. They wanted her to join the Assembanese Liberation Army?
Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, which was masturbating excessively.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know that it was excessive, but I guess in comparison, or maybe because...
Right. Well, what went on? Was there abuse in your past?
Well, I don't know. My mom's a bit melodramatic. She's mentioned a few things, but...
The answer is yes.
Okay, we'll go with yes.
Yes.
Because you couldn't get in on this show unless there was some abuse.
Right.
All right, so what's the plan now? What do you want to do? What's the question?
So, I want to know, I mean, where do I draw the line? If I'm, I mean, is it okay? I mean, I just, for me, you know, I get bored if I'm not, you know, being rough and being aggressive. But, and it doesn't ever
happen. The way to think of this is that when you've been sort of abused growing up, it sort of, let's think of it as sort of burning out the arousal centers in your brain. So in order to feel arousal, you need higher levels of stimulation than the average person. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go to SLAA and other kinds of therapeutic processes, you may come back down to earth where you can be sort of connected in a more realistic and sort of average kind of way. Mm-hmm. The need for this high level of arousal is usually a way of actually diminishing intimacy and avoiding closeness. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's something you need to work on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you can work on it. It's good times. Everything happens for a reason. Summer's calling, wants to know what you guys think of the Piano Man in England. Summer?
Hello.
What do you mean?
I'm calling to ask a question concerning the Mystery Piano Man.
Mystery?
The Mystery Piano Man.
Oh, the Mystery Piano Man. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
This gentleman was found. He has been said that no one's seen someone as traumatized as him in 20 years. And I wanted to see what your take on him was.
Drew, what do you know about the Mystery Piano Man?
I have no effing idea what we're talking about.
Okay.
I thought we were talking about that Billy Joel play.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Which will traumatize you.
Yeah.
He was a man found walking.
All right, I'm bored. But let me say this. You want to hear something weird?
What? Absolutely.
Because this isn't about me, but this next thing is. My agent got a call the other day, and they wanted to know my availability for Spamalot.
To be in it?
Yeah, that's right, Spamalot.
To be in it? That's awesome.
That would be great.
They don't call people to ask if they're available to watch the show.
Yeah. to do in the touring.
Really need to sell some tickets. Can you
do like in the touring group or to be?
I have no idea. Nobody does a worse English accent than me.
Oh,
nobody
you got to do
sings
this.
Sings worse than me.
That's exciting.
No, but what? Here's my point. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm confused. Like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, question. Yeah. For a non-Los Angeles guy, is there a big play scene here in Los Angeles for actors?
No.
Drama?
Not really. Although Spamalot is, I saw it like featured on 60 Minutes 2 weeks ago. It's a huge deal in New York, and I have no idea. No, I mean, they do plays here, and I guess they're well attended, but there's no scene. There's no buzz.
It's not the same as New York.
No, not even.
Not even a plethora of.
But I sing. We could both do Spamalot. See, I'm not funny, but I can sing. So between us, we can get a couple things going.
Well, your name wasn't brought up.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry.
Oh.
You're not...
Sorry. I can't kiss you in every deal, sweetie. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. I just want to say hi and bye to Mira, who's been on hold for 53 minutes. I feel bad. Boyfriend confessed he screwed a guy before they dated. Said he was drunk. Amira.
Hello?
Here's the thing. If your guy had sex... I'm talking to you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the deal. If your girlfriend says, I got drunk and I had a little action with another chick, that's fine.
You're stoked.
You're stoked. If your boyfriend says, I got drunk and went at it with a guy, that could be an issue. Because guys, I don't know any guys that are just gay for a weekend or just gay because they had a couple of tall boys.
Was it gay for pay? That's what I want to know. Was it gay for pay?
It could affect him, too, even if he's not...
Yeah, so here's the thing. If he never does it again and everything's cool and he's a great boyfriend, fine. But keep an eye on him. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be right back after this. Yo, that's the week. I want to thank MXPX for coming in here tonight. Guys, 5 years. Way too long.
Too long.
Way too long.
Ridiculous.
Gonna beat the
Insulting
Wing
effect.
Panic. Name of the CD going to be out in a couple of weeks. Look for that. Warped Tour as well. I want to thank Engineers Michelle, Engineer Anderson, although he was gone all week. Who do I thank over there who's
Todd.
Doing a great job?
Todd,
fantastic job engineering all week long. Brian on the phones, stellar as usual. Producer Ann, and of course, Junior. Producer Lauren for doing a fantabulous job.
Regained a bunch of her juniors.
She earned a few back. So, until next time, it's Adam Kroller for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.